Hello.
Hello.
Hello. All right. Sorry about the delay. Sorry for the delay.
That's okay. No worries. You're very faint. I'll try and turn you up a bit.
Is that better?
Marginally. Still quite faint. Right, yeah, I've got you now.
Yeah. All right, as you can hear, I've got another fighter from Cage Warriors Academy who's fighting in the 8-man tournament on April 7th. But Ashley Kilvington, is that right?
Yeah, that's right.
All right. Yeah, so Ash's going to introduce himself. He's going to let you know his record and where he fights from. Fire away.
Yeah, my name's Ashley Kilvington. I'm 7-0 in MMA and a fight out of Mad Hatter's Academy in Chichester.
Yeah, so I've done tried to do as much research as I could in the few hours I had this morning on guys. I went to a Tapper ballet class with my daughter this morning and was writing stuff down in the car. So excuse me if I can't read my own writing.
Busy day.
Yeah, well, I've had a busy week. So yeah, obviously, tournament, it's all in one night. What are your thoughts on... have you ever done it before, fighting three times in one night, or similar to this?
No, it's new to me. Quite like the dynamics of it, really. I think it'll play into my game quite well. I've competed jiu-jitsu quite a lot, so I'm used to competing multiple times in one day on that front, but never MMA. So yeah, looking forward to it.
Yeah, that's one of the things I got from your gym and stuff like that. It's more of a jiu-jitsu sort of base gym.
Yeah,
that's where it sort of started. Then, so do you think that's going to be? Carry on.
Everyone who fights MMA for Mad Hatters, we all started together about 4 years ago, really. Everyone started competing jiu-jitsu first and then moved into the MMA from there. So it's definitely the base of the gym is grappling. They've got a really strong jiu-jitsu team as well. So I'm always getting good rounds in.
Yeah, obviously, head coach of Brazilian jiu-jitsu black belt, is he?
Yeah, he is, yeah. He was always active. He's competed loads, won a few bits and pieces over the years as well. But yeah, he's a very, very good level of coach to have for the grappling, for sure.
And obviously, I've seen from your record, 2 sub wins, 5 decision wins, obviously. I've spoke to 2 other guys. One of them does a lot of grappling. And my views on it, obviously, grappling and jiu-jitsu and stuff like that obviously helps massive amounts with cardio and stuff like that, obviously. And you can see it with your 5 decision wins as well. Obviously, you've not downgrading to you, but you've been able to last the distance, obviously, physically wise and fitness wise.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I feel good. I feel good going through the rounds. I mean, my cardio is always good. I always work hard on that. But there's a difference between being a good grappler and being a good grappler for MMA. I mean, it's all well and good being a good jiu-jitsu practitioner, but you've got to have the in-between. You've got to have the wrestling. I mean, and that's you've got to have the cage control. And when you're fighting up against the cage, it's quite grueling. You know, if you're 50-50 with someone in a grappling battle, you're leaning each other, you know, 100% of your weight on each other all the time, it gets quite tiring. So yeah, it's something I work quite a lot, so I'll be well prepared on that front.
Yeah, obviously, like you said, it's different to normal jiu-jitsu to it is jiu-jitsu MMA. Obviously, with just normal jiu-jitsu, you don't have to worry about punches and stuff like that coming at you, whereas in MMA, you've got to try and watch out for everything and not just focus on...
Yeah, you can't allow. I mean, in jiu-jitsu, you can allow the space when you're on the bottom to try and work sweeps, submissions, etc. But like you say, in MMA, when you've got someone punching you in the face, you don't want to be. It's a different dynamic to it. You've got to be able to adapt. Obviously, your jiu-jitsu doesn't go out the window. You're still going to use it. You've got to adapt it for MMA.
Yeah, and obviously, it's a split second twitch in your brain to. The quick thinking.
Yeah, I suppose that also comes with time on the mat, time competing, it's your sharpness. You've got to be sharp, haven't you?
yeah,
in the transition and etc.
Right, so I've asked the other two this already. Yeah. Why do you think you've got what it takes to win this tournament? Obviously, you're 7-0, undefeated. What gives you the edge to win this tournament?
I just feel I'm the most rounded out of all the guys. There's obviously some good guys involved in the tournament, otherwise they wouldn't be in it. But I see good strikers, I see, you know, good grapplers, but I feel that overall, I feel I'm the most well-rounded. And yeah, obviously, I've got a bit of confidence still being undefeated. I don't intend on losing anytime soon. I mean, you've got to be confident. You've always got to be confident. Otherwise,
this game's all about.
Yeah, exactly. But I mean, I've done a little bit of research on a few of them, just to sort of see. But I'm not going to look too much into it, because obviously I don't even know who I'm fighting first. But you need a little bit of that.
Obviously, with a tournament like this, you're going in and, like you say, you don't know who you're going to fight. So they could. Obviously, there's another guy in there that's undefeated, and you've got another guy in there who's on an 8-fight win streak, and then there's other guys with kind of even records. So it's literally, you could be pulled with anyone. So, like you said, you have to get some sort of background, because you could go against an undefeated guy, or the guy that's on the 8-fight win streak, or the guy that's sort of got like a level record.
You want to have a little bit of an idea of what your opponent's about before you get in there. And but obviously, because we don't know who we're fighting yet, you've got to do sort of a brief overview on all of them, you know. Just, you know, there's people in there that have got, they're very competent on their feet. You can see that from the footage. But then, not so good on the ground. You've got other guys who are not so confident on the feet, but they're very good grapplers, you know. They're tricky submission specialists.
Yes.
So you've got to be aware of what you're up against a little bit before you get in there. I've done a bit of homework, but yeah, like I say, confident.
Yeah, this was one of my questions. Obviously, training good to fight any one of seven guys first, and then obviously any three guys basically out of seven. Do you change your training camp, or do you just work on your own game plan?
Yeah, I mean, I study myself a lot as well, so there's always something I'm unhappy with when I leave a fight. I'm getting better. Obviously, but I also still pick holes in my game, and I think that's important too. So I'll study my previous fights, and I'll look at that with my coach, and we'll find holes in it maybe, or just I'll always work on the stuff I'm not too good at as well to improve my overall game.
Negatives do turn into positives, so obviously, like you said, trying to find stuff that you're not happy with.
Doing what you do, you know, like you've got to be. I feel everyone's going to be comfortable. Everyone's had a lot of ring time, so it's not going to be going out. You know, I tend to take each other's heads off. I think it's going to be a bit more technical than that. I mean, nothing specific. You can be too specific with so many people involved.
Obviously, yeah, when it's different, if you know you've got one opponent and you've got a scheduled fight for, say, a month's time or 2 months' time, you could focus on that person's sort of fight and style to
try
and find weaknesses. And like you say, when you've done your homework on their footage and stuff like that, you can see, oh, well, when he does this, they're not that good, or I'll try and execute that. And you try and work on certain stuff. But when you're
vulnerable and you can sort of capitalise on that, you can work that in the fight camp leading up to it.
Yeah.
But again, if you want to focus too much on your opponent, you need to grow yourself. If you, from previous experience, I fought someone a couple of times, and they've improved in the time between fights. I mean, I beat them both times, but they had improved. But I feel that they concentrated so much of their camp onto what I was going to do. They didn't really improve. They were better at sort of handling my pressure, I suppose. But again, I think more time would have been needed on themselves as well. Like, you want to focus too much on your opponent.
Yeah, like you said, finding the holes in your game and trying to work on them.
Yeah.
Right. Don't take this the wrong way. Obviously, I've done a little bit of research. One of the guys in the tournament is only 18.
Yeah.
Obviously, you're a bit older than that. I'm not saying you're old, because I'm the same age.
Nah, I started training at, you know, I didn't start training until I was 25, 4 years ago. I've done everything pretty quick. There's guys of age on my side. I appreciate that.
So do you feel being a bit older than some of the guys in the tournament, obviously one of them being 18, so that's 10 years. Do you feel you've got a more mixed martial arts knowledge? Not so obviously because you already started training 4 years ago, but over the years of watching it and stuff like that, you appreciate different techniques a bit more.
Maybe a bit more of a maturity.
Yeah, that's...
With me, I'm very focused because I know I've only got a certain amount of time. I've set myself a goal to turn professional by the time I was 30. I think I'm gonna hit that. To be honest with you, if I didn't get invited into this tournament, I may have been looking towards my first professional fight already. So I know there's time on their side, so they can afford to take more risks.
Yeah,
I suppose. I'm not going to take risks, but just I feel like I'm focused and I know where.
You got where more determination.
Yeah,
because your own goal's coming closer.
100%. They've got someone who's 18. They haven't got to worry about these. You know, they can get as much experience as they need in the next couple of years.
That was my point that I said to him. I said you could waste 2 years but gain more experience and stuff in the next 2 years till you're 20. Doing all these amateur events, and you could have a balanced amateur record, but you've learned so much over that 2 years till you get to your 20. He could turn pro straight away when he's 20, knowing he's got the experience.
There's no rush for him to turn pro. So if he does have a couple of iffy fights, you know, and he's not feeling, he hasn't got that pressure to turn professional anytime soon, it's time to go back to the drawing board and make sure he's 100% ready. I feel they're all. I don't think it's going to be maybe an advantage so much at the age. I don't think that's going to matter too much. I don't think I'm past my peak yet for it to be, you know, young guy versus old veteran. Yeah. No, it's nothing like that yet. I think, I'm going to be mature in there. I know what I've got to do.
Yeah, you've got the mature side of it. So you're less reckless in a way.
Yeah. I'm going to be...
smarter thinking. In a sense,
yeah, I like to see myself as a bit of an intelligent fighter. Now it comes with time in the cage, and like you say, because I had five fights that have gone a distance, I've gained a lot of experience in there. Whereas some guys, you know, they may have had seven fights like I've done, they finished them all in the first round. It doesn't amount, although they've got a great record and it looks great that they finished all their fights. The actual time in there,
And then they could come up against the ranked guy who's completely better than the people that have already fought and completely shock them and take them by surprise, and it's a massive learning step.
You've got to know what it's like to be in the deep water when you're in the third round. You haven't got a lot left in the tank. You know, you've gone at it for a couple of rounds, and it's that. Have you got that? Have you trained that? If you're not training in these positions where you're absolutely exhausted and you've still got people, you know, going at you, how do you know if you're ready for that in a fight? I know I'm there.
Right, so you've already answered one of my questions, but I'm going to try and elaborate a bit more on it. So, after April 7th, say you win the tournament, obviously. I'm not biased in any slight. I'm not favouritising or anything like that. I'm looking for a good show. Say you go and win the tournament. Is that you turning pro straight after it, or are you going to take a few more to, like you said, because obviously you wanted to turn pro before you're 30. So, are you going to take a few more fights? Like, because obviously the name that comes with it, like, you're going to be the best in the UK. You're going to have a target on your back. People are going to want to fight you to try and take that, the title of that off you.
Yeah, I'm not rushing any decision. I think professional is going to be, it's going to be round the corner. It's going to be somewhere this year, towards the end of the year. Like you say, do I take any amateur fights in the meantime? That is going to be answered probably on how the rest of this weight cut goes, because I'm a former Shock and Awe champion. I actually missed weight for my last fight. Something just wasn't quite right. Gone back to the drawing board. I'm well on course for my weight. I'm the lightest I've been at 2 weeks out ever. So we're on course. But do I try bantamweight before I make the decision to turn professional to see where I'm more comfortable at? Am I a flyweight? Am I a bantamweight? Maybe there is a question there that needs to be answered. And for me, the only way to test that would be to compete at bantamweight as well. So that's going to be a decision that's made after the fight. If we're happy with flyweight and we know that we're going to get there comfortably, and it didn't take too much out of me and it hasn't affected my performance at all, then I think the decision's made there that I'm ready to turn professional. But we've got to judge it, you know, after the fight.
You keep answering all my questions before I ask them. My next one is about weight cutting. Like, obviously, do you find it not so much as a struggle, but do you find it a little bit more difficult? Because you've got I'm 6'2 and 14 stone. So I've done weight cutting from 94 kilos to 88. So that was, it was hard, but obviously it was more physical than anything. And I've done it in.
Yeah, weight cutting's tough. Weight cutting's tough. There's no two ways about it. It's tough. And it's part of the game. And I think what the problem I've had was I got content with making it in a short period of time.
Yeah.
And knowing I could do it. And this time, something just wasn't quite right. I couldn't get the last 0.4 off. And ultimately, I lost my title. And that's something that I'm not willing to have again. So I'm being more religious. The reason for it was the first two fights I had were on the day weighing. So they were featherweight contests. I didn't cut any weight for them. The third fight I had was scheduled for flyweight, and I was actually I booked a last minute trip with a mate, a training partner of mine, and we went to Brazil. Rather than stress myself out with a weight cut over there and sort of sacrifice my training maybe a little bit, I was advised to just go ahead as normal, you know, eat normal, try and eat a bit cleaner, but not worry about the weight until we get back. I got back 2 weeks before my fight, and I did the weight cut in 2 weeks and it was fine. So because I did it the first time in 2 weeks, I've always sort of thought, oh yeah, I can do it in 2 weeks. I mean, I don't think it's an ideal way of doing it either. I feel a lot better at this stage of my weight cut, at the weight I'm at now, than I do normally when I'm at this weight. I normally feel a bit fatigued by now, but because I've done it gradually, more efficiently, I feel a lot better. Yeah.
How much do you normally cut per weight cut?
It's 11 kilos total, somewhere around.
That's a lot of kilos.
I walk around about 67 kilos, somewhere like that. And obviously, 67.5.
I'm feeling like a right fat shit compared to you lot.
So we've got to get down to 66.5. And obviously, on guys our size as well, you know, we're all small.
Yeah.
There's not a lot to cut. It really is getting down to that last, you know, couple hundred mil of water out of your body.
Yeah, the last couple of pounds is always the hardest. It's because you've had such a long journey to get the majority off it, and you think, yes, I can see the finish line. It's almost there, and then you can see that it's only a little bit that you've got to get left, like get off.
Oh, the last little bit, that's hell. Like anyone who's cut weight before as a fighter, they're going to tell you that last little bit you've either got to do in the bath or in the sauna or however you're doing it. It's not very nice.
On the subject of weight cutting. What are you looking forward to eating most when you finished on April 7th?
Do you know what? I don't even know. I literally don't even know.
Maybe that could be motivation.
It's going to be nice. It's just going to be nice to know that I haven't got to monitor everything I'm eating. That's the main thing. I'll overindulge normally. I think that may be why it used to make my weight cut maybe a bit harder, because I'd eat crap whenever I wanted it and then sort of focus. Nothing
in particular. But whatever you can get your hands on, or a beer.
Just the freedom of being able to eat and not have to monitor your calories and your weight every day. It'd be nice.
See, we've had a burger that's actually in Essex. It's close to it. It's in the city centre in Colchester. Sorry. Kebab and a pizza.
One of the three is going to be getting demolished soon after.
All of them have said a beer as well.
Yeah, I think I haven't had a drink for a while now, so I don't, I mean, I suppose the other guys will all be the same. None of them are going to be drinking during their fight camps. I haven't had a drink since before Christmas. I've got a few, you know, people coming up to support me. Everyone's staying up there. So, yeah, we'll be having a beer after as well.
Yeah, see, I obviously had a podcast last weekend with Brad Scott, the UFC fighter. And he'd been in a training camp for so long. And he rang me, and I think he was at a house party getting ready to go down to the shows in London. He was half cut. And he'd only had a couple of glasses.
That's the thing as well, because you don't drink. So I think, and you also, you go from, you've got to be careful with it as well. I like the time after, you know, the fight, because the day before, you're all malnourished and dehydrated, and you're not in a good sort of
state. It messes with your mental state as well.
If you're walking to a hospital at that point, they'll probably admit you and put you on a drip because you're going to be so sort of malnourished and dehydrated. You go from that to then start going out, throwing loads of poison really into your body. It's one extreme to the other. So, yeah, I mean, I know that I'm not going to be able to drink how I used to be able to. It's going to be sensible, you know, couple of beers, see how we get on, just because I can, I suppose, more than anything.
And also, we don't want to get two smashes, the big UFC event afterwards as well.
Yeah, that's going to be a good one. That's one to watch for sure. Yeah. I'm looking forward to that.
Who are your picks for the main
card? Good night all round, really.
Who are you picking? Khabib or Ferguson?
Oh, I've got to say Khabib.
So it's my pick as well.
He's just a monster. He's a grappling machine.
Yeah.
I mean, he is chinny. I think he's there to be hit. But I think he's just too much at the moment. I'd like to see him and Conor McGregor, because obviously Conor McGregor is a very intelligent striker.
Yeah.
And Khabib is a bit reckless when he comes in. He doesn't shoot so much. He sort of charges people back to the cage.
Yeah.
And you are vulnerable there.
See, but I'm a bit of a Conor fan.
You can't argue. Once he gets you to the floor, you can't argue with that.
Yeah.
Control he has on it.
I'm a bit of a Conor fan, but I think if the two of them meet, if even if Conor's got to land some big shots, if not, he's Khabib's breakfast.
If he gets into the ground and he grabs hold of that wrist, you know, where he's wrist riding and he's pinning him to the ground, then he's in for a bad couple of rounds. But if he does catch him coming in,
like he did,
which
with
is
Jose
entirely
Aldo.
Possible, he's done it before, then that's why you got to love MMA, isn't it?
And as I say to people, it takes more skill to submit someone than it does punching them in the chin. I mean, you can walk down the street and get hit by a 10-year-old kid in the chin. If you get hit in the right place, you're going down. Seem to have lost Ashley, but yeah, I'll try and get him back. Hopefully we can finish it off so we can do his shout outs and stuff. Follow me in Monstars 10. I'll tag Ashley in this on Twitter and on Facebook. I'll send him the link so he can do his shout outs and stuff like that. Peace.